If you are single or your spouse isn't here, don't worry, you will still be entertained by this game.
All right, this is where I get to do hype.
Every person should have a pink paper and a blue paper. Every person, salmon, we're calling it salmon, since we're by a lake. Oh, okay, and there's extras, thank you, if you don't have any. We'll put them right here. Dean's got some extras too. Just wave your hand if you don't have any. And Jeff's got some extras.
Who's ready for a game show? All right.
All right. Hopefully you're all honest. We can't keep score with this amount of people, so you're gonna have to keep track of your own score, okay? We don't really have a prize for the winner, but if you win, you can come sit with us at lunch. I don't know. What'd you say? Oh, t-shirts? Yeah. Okay, ooh, all right. Right on. We do have a prize, woo!
Anyways, oh, well, I had some game show music to go with it, but it didn't work.
That's all right. Okay, turn it off. You ready?
It's off.
All right, this game is called Who's Better?
Ooh. Oh, okay. So here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to ask you guys some questions, all right? Now, you each have an ability to vote. Red, meaning your wives. Blue for husbands. So when we ask the question...
Which we're going to do a practice question in a minute.
Okay, wait. Here we go. Ready? Who has more hair? Raise your hand. There you go. All right,
so
I see it.
If you matched your color... You guys didn't match color. If you match, you get a point. If you don't... It doesn't count yet. Sorry.
That was a practice run.
That was a practice run. Let's do a different question as a practice run.
Okay, what question?
I got it. Okay, one more practice. Shh, listen up. The goal is you want to match your color, but you can't peek. You can't look to see what your spouse did, okay? That's cheating. All right, who has better taste in clothes? Okay,
Whoa. So
if you match, so now you look, so you guys didn't match. So you wouldn't get a point. Okay, do you get it? All right. All right, we're gonna start. You guys ready? No, those were easy. These are gonna get more complicated. Just you
okay.
watch.
You ready?
Yeah.
Me?
You can go and ask the first couple. Go for it.
Okay.
I think ask this one.
Yep,
first.
Yep, yep. All right, for round one, are you guys ready? Okay. Remember, you get a point if you match. Who takes the longest to get ready?
Okay, now look at your spouse.
Yay!
Okay, so if you match, you get a point. If you didn't match, zero. Go ahead, babe.
All right, for your next question, are you ready? Round two. Who's the better dancer? Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Well, we know how many questions we've asked.
Ready?
Round three.
Who holds a grudge the longest?
Ooh.
Ooh. Not a lot of matching. Not a lot
it.
Of matching on that one.
Wow. We have a forgiveness talk for that one, okay?
Okay. Are you guys ready?
Round
Who
four.
Kills the bugs? Who kills the bugs?
A lot of blue. A lot of blue. Oh, you do. Oh, no!
Oh, you didn't match.
All right. Round five. You ready for this? Who's the messiest?
You guys match. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. A lot of non-matches on that one.
All right. For our sixth question. Sixth question. Here we go.
I think this is the seventh, isn't it? Is it
six?
Six. All right.
Who's the best cook?
Oh, that's you.
Oh. Yeah. Team Clark.
You want me to go now?
Yeah, sure, go for it.
Okay. Who initiates sex more?
That one's an easy one. That's seven, right? That's seven? We're moving to eight.
Next question.
Number eight.
Ready? Who sings better?
Ooh.
Who sings better?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Jobs. She said, is this job security for you guys after camps? We make sure we look at all the ones that didn't match, and we're like, uh-oh. No, we don't. Yeah. Okay, who watches TV more?
Okay, here we go.
Oh, you didn't match.
No.
That's a great one. Okay, can I ask that one?
Yeah, sure. Go
who
for it.
Is more forgetful?
What number is that?
I don't know.
Well, count how many questions we've done so far. I think it's number 12. All right, so this one's going to initiate some conflict. Are you ready for this? Because every guy's got a little, you know, he's tied into this one. Who's the better driver? Okay.
A lot of mismatches on this side of the room. That's all I'm going to say. I think this is now question 12, right? 11?
12.
Is it 12?
12. Okay, here we go.
Has anyone gotten all of them right?
Whoa.
Uh-oh, we might need some more t-shirts.
Geesey, way to go. Okay, here we go. Who has the better sense of humor? She's laughing. I love it.
He hasn't chosen yet.
Oh, what is this? What is this? All right, here we go. This is question number 13? 12. Okay. 13. This one's a ringer. You ready for this? Who apologizes first?
After our talk yesterday.
Nice. What is this?
She
combo.
Cheated. Oh, you can't cheat. No cheating. I caught you. Okay, can I ask this next
one? All right, gentlemen. Now, I just want you to think Braveheart inside out if you watched it with your kids. The Notebook.
Freedom.
That's right. Okay, so who cries more at movies?
All the men are like, yep, the ones that cry.
That'd actually be both of us.
All right. Question 15.
Yeah, ready?
Yeah. Who is more spontaneous?
What?
Who is more spontaneous?
Now we get to see who the type B's are. Okay. All right. This one's a good one. You ready? Whose family is the loudest? Julie. All right.
We love being on the stage because we can see when you don't match.
What?
Your family's loudest. No, your family is loudest. It's the best.
All right. Last two questions. Here you go. Who is the most gullible? Oh.
I think we should do a bonus. We need to find out how many it matches because we can't have multiple letters.
Okay.
All right.
Right now.
If you've gotten all of them correct, raise your hand. Wait. Are you by yourself?
Yeah. You get it.
That doesn't count.
Way to go. You know what? I always win at Battleship when I play by myself.
Okay, wait. Someone was over there. You guys matched everyone so far? And you guys have matched? Okay, final question. You all can play this one, but let's see who the real winner is. Who would make the better president?
Oh!
They won! Good job, you guys!
He's like, wait a minute, what? I would make the better president? Yes, exactly. Where's my camera?
I wish I got that on video.
And she's laughing. The gall that you would think you would make a better president. I'm the better delegator. Real quick.
Oh my gosh,
I'd like to hear.
Too funny.
I would like to hear, why do you think you'd make the better president? Wait, hold on. Shh. Why would you make the better president? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And why do you think you would make a better president?
Okay, so there you go. Okay.
Well, we'll see you on the trail.
Our winning couple. Everyone applaud for our winning couple.
Yeah.
Good job, you guys. You guys did a good job. You guys are great. Okay, you announce it all.
All right. Just by a show of hands, can I get who golfed last night or yesterday? Yes? I firmly believe that golfing, I had that on for a reason, but I believe golfing is a spiritual discipline. Scriptures say that you do need to die to self. And so if you want to crucify your flesh and your ego and your pride and everything else, try hitting a little ball and making it into a hole a couple hundred yards away. And it's amazing how much issues you will have on the golf course. Can I get an amen? And trust me, it's not like a bike you can just hop on, right? A year later, it's like, why can't I hit this thing? It's just dead. Anyways. All right, we believe that we learn in community, that we learn as a group. And so rather than just Megan and I up here pontificating about marriage concepts, we actually wanted to hear from you. Learning how to do the proper apology is a huge and massive concept. And as Megan and I have walked couples through affair recovery, we've walked couples through massive hurts. I will tell you this, that when you apply a proper apology, to a core wounding. We mentioned this yesterday. It's like magic. We have watched years and years of anger and resentment disappear when a couple has walked through a proper apology. So today we want to talk about communicating, but you can't really say something nice if your other spouse has something pent up in, you know, in anger. Does that make sense? So we have to deal with the hurt first. One other thing I wanted to say is this. Megan said this at the end. To apologize to your kids is probably one of the most powerful things you can do. Some of you are walking around with a mommy and a daddy wound, and you may be in your 50s, 60s, 70s. I have sat down with couples and I said, what would it look like for you if your dad came up to you and apologized and said, I am so sorry for never communicating how proud I am of you? What would that do? And I see people's faces. It's almost like, oh my God, this would change everything. And so as you learn and get to practice the proper apology on each other, I just want to encourage you. Your kids need to hear that too. All of those that have made mistakes in parenting, raise your hand. Okay, good. So we got a lot to work with. Anyways, we wanted to hear from you. So Megan's going to walk around, and I'd love to hear you share about what it was like for you to experience the proper apology. I do not want to hear anybody stand up and say, we've never fought before. Because then I'd say, well, you've never communicated before. Because we're all different. So,
yeah. But there were so many couples we talked with that we saw were really working through some stuff. So if you feel vulnerable, we learn from each other. We'd love to hear from you. Just a couple of you before we start. Who's going to be the brave first one? Thank you.
Yes.
There's none of, is there a middle aisle? Sort of. Mr. President.
So, yeah, this is being very vulnerable. My husband and I were at camp in 2010, and at the end of Victory Circle, I ran out of here, and our lives just kind of kept crashing down, and we had no idea why. My husband met me out there, and he confessed to me that in the beginning of our marriage, we'd been married over 20 years, that he had been unfaithful to me, and we had carried that through our marriage the whole time, the entire time. But the one thing that he did was he immediately said he was sorry, and never swayed on that apology. Never used an excuse. There were lots of our marriage wasn't good at the time. I was being emotionally unfaithful to him. And so there was a lot of excuses he could have used, and he didn't use any of them. And he just took it and accepted it, and always, always, always apologized through that entire first year of counseling and all the stuff that we needed to go through. And it has made our marriage completely different, and God has been able to use us in ways that we couldn't even imagine after that. So, yeah.
Anybody else?
I'm married to a lawyer, and so he's always right. And he's married to a stubborn fighter, so I'm always right. So last night, it really revealed something in our communication that our goal in arguing is to prove we're right. And just to have the freedom to not be right and empathize and listen to the other person and not have to defend our position was really big for me. So, you know, I can say things, and certainly he may be right, but then, you know, he has to understand why I felt that way, and same for him. So that was just a really good practical tool. So thank you.
Hello. I just want to say it's actually really nice of we got to a point where he apologized and he understands that I'm not ready to forgive him yet. And that will take time. And him understanding that that will take me time to process meant a lot to me, probably more than the forgiveness itself.
Thank you.
And you're not alone in that process. Thank you for sharing. One more person?
Your team. What are you doing, honey? Sit down.
Any minute.
Grab the leg.
I am a very process-driven person, so I love that there are steps to the proper apology, because I can follow steps. That's easy. And I think for us, what it really revealed is that when we got to that step of what can we do to make it better, what I was apologizing for and what Robert was apologizing for, what we both collectively need to do to make it better actually serves the other with what, you know, their challenge was. And so it just, I think we left the room feeling a lot of opportunity and hope that we actually can fix this. We can do some great work together. So I felt really excited after that exercise.
Connected.
Yes.
Team Clark.
That's awesome. I agree that step number three really does give you that hope, like, oh, we can change this behavior or this pattern that we have. One more person, anybody else? I feel like there's someone who really wants to share. All right.
I feel like someone's got a back pain. No, stomach pain. I'm feeling
yes.
Like in the left side of your ankle. No, anybody? No? Sorry.
It's Wade.
Hey, y'all.
Pain like here?
I'm from Texas, so I gotta say y'all a few times. Well, I'm just not here this morning because our two-year-old is feeling sick. But we apologize a lot to each other. But kind of like what Grace said, is that how can we make this better? I think we just want to hear the other person say that we're forgiven without trying to do the work of how can we make this better? How can we do better at the things that we apologize for? And it just was, that impacted me a lot. And also thinking about the first one, that it's the actions and the feelings as well. So being a pastor, I think a lot about forgiveness, and I think a lot about apologizing and sitting at the feet of Jesus. But I think the making it better, going that next step, doing the next thing that can better your relationship with your spouse is very important. And I'm glad that I'm thankful for y'all. So y'all.
Thank you. Thanks, guys, for sharing.
So we kind of dealt with some of the issues that might have been clouding your ability to connect. So we've always talked with couples that there's this constant cycle of rupturing the relationship because we all make stupid mistakes or we're just, you know, cutting remark or rolling the eyes. But then this repair attempt brings that circle full. So this morning, what we wanted to do is something incredibly, incredibly intimate. And it is making eye contact. And the ability to see someone and look in their eyes. We're gonna give each other eye contact. And you know, the eyes are the window to the soul. There's something very vulnerable of being able to look into someone's eyes and to give them eye contact and to be present with them. And so we're actually gonna do that for 30 seconds as just an exercise in communicating without speaking, okay?
I'm going to set the timer. So it's going to feel very uncomfortable for a lot of you who don't make eye contact often. But it's a good way to start just what we're going to dive into today. Okay? So kind of lean your body. If you want to turn your chair, you can. If it's more comfortable, but eye contact. Keep the giggling down. Okay?
Actually, it'll be silent for the 30 seconds. It'll be silent.
All right. Are you ready? Okay, there's no talking, just eye contact. Okay, no contact. I mean, no contact. No, eye contact, yes.
Yes, eye contact.
No talking, sorry. Nonverbal communication. All right, let's go.
Ooh. And you can lean in, and now that you've communicated that I'm here, you can go, Let's hear it. Wow. Hundreds of couples kissing at the same time.
All right, you guys ready? Because we got to be on time today. Yes. Look at me, the on-time person. I'm like, we gotta go. Okay. Nah. So, you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, communication is what connects us. And so, like we said yesterday, God did not put us on this earth to be alone. He wants us to be connected with our spouse on a physical level, an emotional level, on a spiritual level. And so we all know that communication is key to a healthy marriage. How many of you have heard that? Yes, we know, right? You got to talk, you got to communicate to one another. And so we want to give you three key qualities to really good communication in your marriage. But this also works in all relationships, okay? The first one is communicating your needs early and often. So No one in this room is a mind reader. Yet for some reason, when we get married, we believe that our spouse should know what we're thinking, why we're feeling what we're feeling, and what we need. And things happen, like Casey said, you know, someone rolled their eyes or someone's working too many hours in the office, and we don't say anything. And we just kind of say, you know what, I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to kind of brush it under the carpet. It's not a big deal. I'm going to be the bigger and better person. I'm not going to bring it up. And what happens is we build resentment, and then we blow. So let me tell you a little story about how this happened with me. So when we first got married, I noticed early on that Casey is half man, half water buffalo when he washes his face at the sink. So when he washes his face, it's like not just water like on his face and arms, like it's on the sink, it's down the cabinets, and it's all on the mirror. Oh, see, I actually saw a few of you do this. So are you half water buffalo too, or you know this? Okay. So probably sounds like that's so silly.
And I'm trying to express to Megan, I'm just being thorough.
Yeah. So in the beginning of our marriage, I didn't want to say anything. And I thought, it's not a big deal. So I just kind of, you know, he left the bathroom and I just took the washcloth and kind of wiped it and wiped it down. Well, after a couple weeks, then the resentment started to build. I was like, how dare him? Doesn't he know that I spent all Saturday, my day off, cleaning the bathroom and the house? And he's just so inconsiderate. And I let it go for a couple of months. And then it was like, you know, he'd be in the bathroom with me and I'd be like, ugh. You know, you make the little side things, rolling of the eyes. Finally, I just lost it on him one day. I mean, I went crazy over like the sink being messy. And he looked at me with this face of shock and he just said, you never told me it mattered. No big deal, clean it up. I felt so convicted. I felt so bad. Here I am. And I never said, hey, do you mind just wiping down the mirror and the sink and the cabinets and the floor after you wash your face every day? But it.
And I didn't even see it.
And obviously, this is something, you know, that, you know, and after that, it really hasn't ever really been an issue because it said something. But we do this in marriage where we go and we don't say anything. We know we have needs. We're feeling neglected. We need a date night. We need someone, you know, we need our spouse to hold our hand when we're at church, but we don't speak up. We don't communicate early and often, and it gets us in trouble. And then we blow up or we avoid, and it's not a good habit. So
we have a process.
Yes.
Hey, Team Clark, Team Clark, we have a process for you. Are you ready for this? Okay, this is gonna be like the game changer for you guys, okay? This is something you wanna work out as a formula, and in fact, we're gonna give you a moment to sit down and kind of think about what is something that you need in the relationship. If you were to look at like driving back home, how you'd like to see things change. Now, we wanna start with I feel, all right? Now, we have our feelings words list, okay? You can check out here. Are you ever wrong to feel a certain way? No, exactly. So what we want to communicate immediately is, this is what I'm feeling right now. When you, and we're going to describe a very specific action. We're not going to use the word always. We're not going to use the word never. We're going to talk about a very specific thing that we're working on, okay? And then I need. So there's a real specific, identifiable action that we'd like to see. We're not making demands, but we're making a request. So I feel neglected when you come home and you're on your phone for a couple hours. And I need to know that I am a priority. Do you see how that is a request that does not immediately throw people into defense mode, right? What do we do instead? God, you're always on your phone. Come on. You're always talking to your mom. Maybe that's one.
Or you don't nag and complain and you hold it in and you avoid and you minimize.
Some avoiders, right?
You avoid and you minimize it and you say, I'm going to be the bigger, better person. I'm not going to bring it up. It's not a big deal. But then it really is bothering you. And yeah. It's not fair to your spouse. You need to communicate to them what you need from them. You can't expect them to be a mind reader. And you have to communicate. Otherwise, how are they supposed to know what they're supposed to do? So we actually gave you, because we're going to have you write this down. We gave you expressing your needs.
Oh, yes.
So let's just talk about needs really quick. A lot of you actually don't even know what you need.
Yes.
That's why we created this cheat sheet. In fact, inside of our membership in Marriage 365, there's a whole bunch of these I needs. Because sometimes people are like, I actually don't know how to verbalize what I really need from my spouse.
Wait, isn't that the webcast is that tomorrow?
That's live tomorrow.
Yes. Okay.
But so
we have a whole webcast on expressing
and identifying your needs. So what we're going to have you do, you've got lots of note pages in your, well, now you all have salmon color and blue paper as well to write on. But what I want you to do is I want you to write out, each of you, I feel, use the feelings words list, when you, I need. And think about it. What do you really need from your spouse? Use the cheat sheet. We'll give you a couple minutes, and then we're going to have you turn towards each other, okay?
I'll get it.
Thank you. We'll give you about 30 more seconds. All right, for the sake of time, we were actually gonna have you guys turn towards each other, but we're gonna actually encourage you to do that on your free time today or with your when your CCAs are there tonight, okay? But you're gonna just take turns walking through this. We do this weekly during our weekly marriage business meeting that we talked about Monday. So life can happen really quickly, and if you're not taking that time and saying, I need this from you, probably never going to happen, okay? And for those of you who are avoiders and pleasers, this is going to be more difficult as well because you're going to have to speak up and have that confidence to say, this is what I need from you, okay? All right. So that was communicating your needs early and often.
Another opportunity to communicate very clearly
number
with each
two.
Other is actually through active listening. And we need to take time to listen to each other. Oftentimes, we're listening to respond. So we're almost like, hey, hurry it up, wrap it up, because I've got something to say. And we don't really get a chance to fully listen to our spouse, which means that we actually short-circuit our ability to communicate to each other. Because as soon as she's finished saying something and I've formulated something in my mind, I'm like ready to fire it off. And one of the things that we realize is, and us guys, I believe God's like gave us coming out of the womb with a hammer in our hands. Would you agree with that? And our job is to fix things. And we see a nail everywhere. We see a nail, we're just gonna bam, we're gonna fix it. And one of the things I think we can grow in, now remember Monday, I said, hey, courage, right? Courage to step into and initiate conversation with your spouse, your wife. One of the things we can work on is listening fully to our wife and letting her finish, and even a couple seconds of silence. So we kind of fool them into thinking like, we're processing right now.
Well, now you told everybody, so you can't fool them.
I'm just talking to the guys, that's all. But just sit there and go, wow, that is interesting. Okay,
now tell them the million-dollar question.
Oh, well, yes. So if you guys want the best response.
Husbands, listen to this very carefully.
You may want to write this down. The best response after your wife shares with you about how her sister, oh my gosh, could you believe this, goes on and on and on and go, I don't even know what to say right now, but I'm so glad you shared. Ladies, amen.
Yes,
amen.
Right?
If your man just delivered that honestly, like, I do not know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you shared.
Can we actually share a video about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's
quick
learn
video.
A little bit about something called empathy. Gentlemen, we can all work on this.
Oh,
well,
us ladies
myself.
Can work on empathy too.
Yes, here we go. Wait, hold on. Just kidding. Hold on. Why isn't it playing? Give me a second. Is it playing? Where's my tech guy? Nate, wait, hold on. It's playing here.
So what is empathy and why is it?
And now it won't play? Aww.
So what is
empathy? Oh! Oh.
So what is empathy and why is it very different than sympathy? Empathy fuels connection. Sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy, it's very interesting. Teresa Wiseman is a nursing scholar who studied professions, very diverse professions, where empathy is relevant, and came up with four qualities of empathy. Perspective taking, the ability to take the perspective of another person or recognize their perspective as their truth. Staying out of judgment, not easy when you enjoy it as much as most of us do. Recognizing emotion in other people and then communicating that. Empathy is feeling with people. And to me, I always think of empathy as this kind of sacred space when someone's kind of in a deep hole and they shout out from the bottom and they say, I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed. And then we look and we say, hey, you can climb down. I know what it's like down here, and you're not alone. Sympathy is, ooh, it's bad, uh-huh. No, you want a sandwich? Empathy is a choice, and it's a vulnerable choice, because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. Rarely, if ever, does an empathic response begin with at least. And we do it all the time. Because you know what? Someone just shared something with us that's incredibly painful, and we're trying to silver lining it. I don't think that's a verb, but I'm using it as one. We're trying to put the silver lining around it. So I had a miscarriage. Oh, at least you know you can get pregnant. I think my marriage is falling apart. At least you have a marriage. John's getting kicked out of school. At least Sarah is an A student. But one of the things we do sometimes in the face of very difficult conversations is we try to make things better. If I share something with you that's very difficult, I'd rather you say, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me. Because the truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
Right?
Powerful, right? We've watched that video at least 300 times, and every time I still get something from it.
Yep.
This is what happens. When we are communicating and sharing with our spouse, oftentimes we just want them to listen. We don't want to fix. Now, sometimes we need them to actually fix something, and we need to brainstorm, or we need their help. You have to communicate that ahead of time, your expectations. I see this all the time. We go into a conversation, and we assume our spouse should know, do they need to fix? Do they need to listen? What do they need to do? Say, right now I need to vent to you for 20 minutes, and I don't want to hear your ideas or fixing me. I just need a safe place to come to. That's okay to say that.
Whoa.
Or you say, I'm really stuck right now with my family situation. I don't know what to do. Can we sit down after I vent and brainstorm some ideas? Does that make sense? Empathy should always be present no matter in any either of those situations. You should always be listening to try to understand what your spouse is thinking and feeling. Okay?
Okay. Massive credit, by the way, to Brené Brown. Those two videos.
Those last two
Anybody
videos
read
are Brené
Brown.
Brown?
Books?
Brené Brown, oh, right, will change your life. I don't know. She's pretty amazing. B-R-E-N-E.
She has...
Brown is color brown. Just to clarify, make sure. She's great.
She has a video on YouTube called The Power of Vulnerability, and it is a game changer.
It's in the top 20 TED Talks, her video. So she's really... She's a shame researcher, FYI.
All right.
And a believer.
We want to close out our time for Family Hour with one of... I told you there's two things that we've taught couples that are game changers. One is, okay, yes, you know what? That's three. Okay. The weekly.
The business meeting.
Marriage business meeting.
Well, not like business time. To clarify, that actually could be up there too, though.
That's like the
weekly marriage business meeting.
Every other day, weekly marriage business meeting, right?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
The weekly marriage business meeting, game changer. Yes.
But the second thing that we've taught that I believe it may seem so simple, but the reality is that we often focus on the negative, right? We tend to like go, man, my flight's delayed. You know, like the things that happen to us, that's kind of where we camp out on. That's just our broken sin nature, right? Even when it comes to our marriage, we tend to focus on the negatives. We see the faults. And what we want to do is make a choice to speak love, to focus and assume the positive in the relationship. We call this habit the 60-second blessing. I kid you not. Let me just explain what it is. For 60 seconds, you're going to use words and point them at your spouse and share your love, your appreciation, your admiration, your respect for them by telling them how much you love them. And then for 60 seconds, that comes back. So it's a 2-minute habit that I'm asking you, and I will challenge you that it will change your relationship, because every single day you get to remind each other of how beautiful, of how much you love them and appreciate them. Who could say, I want more of that in my marriage?
Whose love language, if you know your love language, whose is words of affirmation? Yeah, a lot. So if you're a words of affirmation person, this is really going to fill you up. So what we're going to have you do is we're going to give you a couple minutes. We're going to have you write down a minimum of 5 things you love about your spouse. Don't share, don't talk, don't look at your spouse's notes, okay? 5 things that you love and appreciate about your spouse. Write it down. Bonus points for those of you who can do like 7, 8, 9 things. Do you guys think 1 more minute's enough? Yeah?
Let me give you a helpful hint. Ladies, they like to be complimented on their attributes. Men like to be complimented on their accomplishments. So think about maybe something that your husband has done.
It could also be a physical trait that you really love. And it could also be something that they did, like even during camp. Like, hey, thanks for dealing with the kiddo who had a tantrum yesterday. It can be something very, you know, thank you for always doing the cooking. Kind of like that too, okay?
All right, just for time's sake, actually. So I realize this is kind of maybe a new habit for you guys. Would you like to see that modeled so you see what it looks like? Okay. I know sometimes it's helpful to go, what? Okay, what are we supposed to be doing? So why don't we do the 30-second. 30-second blessing?
30-second for the sake of time.
Okay.
You guys are going to do the full 60-second.
And what we're going to have you do is you're going to turn towards each other. Remember, because nonverbal communication shows that we're present, eye contact. And I am going to go right off the spot here. Thank you so much for being such a great arranger. And the way you create and organize stuff, from stuff around the house to just even our schedules, is just so helpful for me. I need that structure. I definitely need that structure. You're an incredible mom. I never had an example of what a real mom looked like. And so it's this like beautiful redeeming thing to see you in action. And I loved seeing the way you work with the kids. You're my best friend. And I love playing card games, our endless games of Rummy. And you have like the most beautiful green eyes ever.
How do I top that? That's pretty good on the spot. I really love your passion. I love your energy that you have. It makes me want to get up in the day. Like in the morning, I'm like, man, I want that passion that you have. Thank you for always making me laugh, keeping things fun. I need fun. You're good for me for that. I really appreciate that you've stepped up the cooking, barbecuing and cooking. It really means a lot to me. I love your blue eyes. I love your beard. I like your butt. It's cute.
Self-conscious.
Actually, for a moment, I forgot we were with people. Sorry. Your mom, she's missing out. She doesn't know what she's missing out on. And I feel so blessed because I get you to myself. I don't have to share you. And you're an incredible dad. And the kids are so blessed to have you. And the energy and the creativity that you bring into our family. You love God more than anyone else I've ever met. And you lead our family really well. Love you. Oh, he's all tearing up. Who cries more at movies? Casey. All right. He's actually a feeler and I'm a thinker, so I don't cry as much. But okay, so we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Now, we do this, and we've been doing this for 7 years, almost every day. So we can do it where we don't have to write it down. But for many of you that have a difficult time putting, you know, words in action and words just really don't come to you easily, this is what's so great is you can write it down and then speak to each other, okay? So we're going to have the husbands go first. We're going to time you. It's 60 seconds, okay?
If you are done talking, there's nothing more to share. I want you to actually just say nothing.
Just make eye contact.
And ladies, I don't want you to respond like,
yep.
No, or, oh, really? Like, nothing. I just want you to sit and receive these words, okay? Men, are you ready to lead with courage?
Can I say something? For those of you who are not with your spouse or single, this is great to do with your children. We'll talk about that in a minute. But write attributes about your children, okay? All right, guys, on your marks.
Turn towards
husbands.
Each other.
Go ahead. Timer started.
Yeah. You still do. was only 60 seconds. Bless.
That was only 60 seconds.
Why don't you guys, I want you to finish up your list,
if
okay?
If you're still going, finish really quick. All right. Ladies, go ahead and thank your husbands. Give them a kiss or a hug. Lots of good tears. Feels good, huh? All right. Wives, it's your turn. Husbands, you're not allowed to say anything. You're just going to listen with empathy and listen, okay? And receive it. All right, women, go ahead. Okay, finish your last thoughts. All right. Husbands, thank your wife. Give them a kiss, a hug, a thank you. All right. We have one more minute. Listen up. This is powerful. If you have children, you need to be doing this in front of your children. They need to see you speak words of love and appreciation and respect to one another constantly. Mm. We do this in front of our kids all the time. And sometimes our kids are like, Dad, you know, whatever. We obviously keep it G and PG with them. But the other thing that you need to do is you actually need to take time at camp and after camp and do this to your children. Mm. Put one of the kids, not in the hot spot, but just say, we're all going to go around, and this is what we do, and we're going to say two things we love about Cordell, or two things we love about Kylie. And then they have to say siblings, and then we do this with Dad, and everyone goes around. This is so powerful. Kids need to hear what they're good at. They need to hear. Little girls need to hear that they're beautiful, that they're enough, because the world tells them they're not enough starting at like 10 years old. Okay? It's so important to do this. This is one of the healthiest things that you could do for your marriage, but for your family. And I encourage all of you today. It's family day. For those of you that have kids in the wilderness like we do, we get to spend time with our daughter. We're going to do this. We haven't seen her in a few days. And now you just experienced how good it feels. And we go about life and we never stop and say, you know, I really appreciated that you did that for me. Or I really love this about you. We did it when we were dating. We might have done it when we were newlyweds. But we kind of stopped doing it. Mm. This is a 2-minute habit every single day. 2 minutes, you guys, that's it. And you don't even have to be together. You can do it on the phone if you travel for work. You can even do it via text if you absolutely had to and you had a busy day at work. Something is better than nothing, okay?
Husbands, I wanna challenge you to the next 7 days to take the initiative in your family to lead your wife well by saying, hey, honey, I want to share with you for the next 60 seconds, maybe even longer, how much I love you. I guarantee you, in 7 days, you will see a drastic and dramatic difference in the way you communicate, the way you assume things about each other. You're reminding each other about your team and how powerful it is. It's a very simple thing. And let me tell you, Scripture talks so much about the power of the tongue. This is wielding it with wisdom, with love. Okay? Thank you, guys.